this a 37-yard field goal for the win over the Titans for the first time in more than 2 years. Hollis, the kick from the hold of Barker. There's the snap, the placement, the kick is up. It is on the way, and Mike Hollis has beaten the Titans! For the win. 5 seconds to play, 59 yards out. A franchise best, a personal best. Snap, the placement, the kick up on the way. And he got it from 59 yards away for the win! Oh, boy! Oh, yeah! 59 yards!
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, glad you're along with us today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday kicking off here live at Everbank Jaguars today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Like I said, we'll be out taking in seventh practice? Let's see. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, kind of a half practice on Monday. Got Tuesday off, Wednesday, Thursday. That's about their seventh practice, six and a half practices, something like that, with the Jags getting ready for the scrimmage tomorrow, which is always, I think, a fan favorite, an opportunity. Certainly not everybody can get out here on a weekday morning and take it in. And, today seems like the day. I haven't been out there yet, but seems like the day they'll be on the near field. If you are making your way out here, probably your best chance to see the Jags up close on the practice field today. And, of course, they sign autographs after every practice session, or so it seems, with some of the key guys out there. We're asking you today, what are you looking forward to at the scrimmage tomorrow? If you'd like to weigh in, certainly phone lines will be open to you a little bit later on at 641-1010. You can also text us on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at that number as well. The way I asked this question today, presented by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships in the Fan Feedback Spotlight, I assumed that everybody wants to see Blake Bortles tomorrow, right? If there's one guy you want to see, it's your quarterback. It's the obvious answer to that. So I said, well, I'm not going to ask who are you most interested in seeing tomorrow, because that's always going to be Blake, or 98% of the time, and that'll be boring. So I'll expand it out to which three players are you most interested in seeing, assuming most people will put Blake Bortles in there, but I want to get an idea of who, or which newcomers or which holdovers people are most excited about heading into 2015. And I'm getting a stream of Blake, 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 Bortles, 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 or Blake Bortles, Blake Bortles, Blake Bortles. It's not the easiest name to say three times fast, so I said it three times kind of slow right there. But you can weigh in on Twitter, at MD underscore 1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony as well, and share your thoughts with us on who you're looking forward to taking a gander at tomorrow night in the stadium. It won't be a true game format, but there will be some hitting going on out there. I'll tell you what, so the best thump at training camp yesterday, Jonathan Cyprian delivered it late in practice as Toby Gerhart caught a short pass. They had the Jags of the ball at like the 5-yard line, simulating again some of that tight red zone work. And Blake Bortles found Toby coming out of the backfield. He turned it up and was met at the one violently by Jonathan Cyprian. You know what? We talk about the big splash plays from Sip, the interceptions, the sacks, what have you. Hey, you know what? That is a splash play. When you're a strong safety and you are being tasked in large part with run support as being a primary function of your duties, to come up there and make a play like that near the goal line is huge, because you give the rest of your defense a chance to resettle and, you know, fight the good fight, try to keep the team out of the end zone. And he put Toby Gerhart on his butt going backwards in a hurry yesterday. So if you like thump and if you like big hits, hopefully we'll see a little bit of that. But again, coming out of it, as long as everybody is walking upright and we don't have any hamstring pulls, any tendon tears, anything bad in those kind of ways, we all want to see a little pad-on-pad action with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and especially from guys like Cyprian, guys that we expect to be a key part of what they're trying to do on defense this year. But he really lowered the boom yesterday on Toby Gerhart, who I hope Toby was fine. I don't know what his status was, but I tell you what, I would have been wondering what day it was after taking that one from Jonathan Cyprian yesterday. So weigh in today on the program in a variety of ways. Of course, we've got the Twitter, we've got the Facebook, we've got the phone calls in the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Hopefully today, if all things go well, we'll talk with Mike DiRocco from ESPN, embedded Jaguar reporter, part of their NFL Nation coverage. And also, we'll get Amanda Borges weighing in from training camp. We'll hear from Bob Babich. We don't hear from him that often. Bob is one of the truly nice guys. in an organization where Gus Bradley heads it up, it's hard to single anybody else out as being, oh, what a great guy, because Gus is so overwhelmingly out there, positive, in your face with it. But Bob Bradley's as salt of the earth as they come, or Bob Bradley, as far as that goes, Bob Babich.
Gus's brother.
I threw an extra Bradley in there for a minute. But Bob Babich is a good guy, and you don't often get the credit when you run a defense and you have a head coach who is a defensive-minded guy. Everyone says, hey, that's Gus Bradley's defense. You certainly get some of the blame when it doesn't go well. So it's whenever you're a coordinator under a coach who is coming from the same side of the football primarily, sometimes that's the case. But we hear what he had to say about how the defense is shaping up a little bit later on in this morning's show. Also, we'll check in with the Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, as we've been previewing the Jags opponents in the order that they'll face them, and they get the Falcons late in the season this year. We'll check in with D.O. coming up about an hour and a half from now, towards the back end of the show. Again, question of the day, which three players are you most excited about watching in tomorrow night's scrimmage down here at Everbank? It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. I'm getting ready to pack up my bags, head outside, join Fat Tony as Jaguars today takes it out to the Florida Blue practice fields. Hope to see you out there. In the meantime, 641-1010 if you want to get in. This is Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I guess I feel like everybody else did yesterday, Tony. You ate all the food at the Metro Diner check counter before I got out of here. Way to go. Unbelievable. D-Rock get any? You give any to Mike DeRocco?
I didn't get a biscuit.
Not a biscuit.
Not even a piece of bacon.
Got to sop up the gravy with your finger. It's unbelievable.
I'm running around. I'm doing the eating.
Ah, it's gorgeous out today, huh?
It is.
Isn't this really nice. This is about the nicest day we've had out here, temperature-wise, blue skies. They've had some good weather, D-Rock, with the exception, of course, Monday night. My question to you, you see this, Mike DeRocco here with us from ESPN.com, part of the NFL Nation coverage of your Jacksonville Jaguars. You see a lot more than we do from our vantage point over here, okay? Blake, everybody roundly saying best practice he's had maybe this entire summer, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Yesterday, up until that final tight red zone period, a little bit shakier for Blake, it seemed like.
Yeah, I mean, he threw two picks, one that was taken back, In neither instance were those guys really open, but, you know, I think that kind of goes back to a story I wrote the other day. They want him to take some more chances.
Sure.
They want him to, you know, maybe try and fit it in a tight window. It's just, and it's easier to do it out here because there's nothing at stake, but they just want to make sure that he is smart about when he does it. But, yeah, I mean, I question the wisdom of trying to fire one in there to Nick Jacobs. You know what I mean? At least if I can get one in that tight little window to Nick
Julius, maybe?
Yeah, Julius Mercedes.
You know.
The second one, I guess he was going at Hearn, so I get that one. But the throw the one into Nick Jacobs, I'm not really sure. I think I would come back to the sideline and kind of go, yeah, I'd kind of mess that one up.
Boy, he put that one, that touchdown to Hearns to almost
really
close that period.
Yeah.
He put that on him in a hurry, in a short space, and Hearns just snatched it. I mean, it was...
He catches everything now. I mean, I know he had that stretch last year. We dropped a couple of balls. He dropped that long one.
Right.
But he has caught everything in camp, and he's made some tough catches, too, and he goes down. Like, he hit the ground hard yesterday. The day before, he hit the ground pretty hard, and he just pops right back up. He does not get dinged or hurt.
Yeah, and, you know, you compare that to the guy who he kind of is fighting with for reps, Marquise Lee, now going to be down at least week to week, so let's call it a couple weeks right now, and you know, again, new offense, new system. He's got to get his time. He's got to get all this stuff. I mean, it's understandable where the fan base is kind of right now. Oh no, not again with Marquise Lee. I mean, it's not like the guy's not trying to prepare his body. He looks like he's in good shape, but he just can't catch a break, it seems.
No, and it's really funny to me because Gus gave him Monday off because he said, looking at the GPS stuff and the analytics, that he had the most workload of any of their wide receivers. So he gives them Monday off, they take Tuesday off, and then he comes out on Wednesday after 2 days off and pulls the hammy. So it's like maybe the best thing with him is not to give him a day off. Maybe the best thing to him is wind him down a little bit. But he talked about he can't go any other way but 100%, and maybe he goes too hard. Maybe he's one of those guys that just pushes himself too hard. I mean, Cecil was the same way in terms of one of the reasons that we think that he got hurt so much is because he was always working out. He never really took time off in the off season to rest and let his body get better. And you know, he'd go to the Larry Fitzgerald camp. He would be the skill weight room champion and all that other stuff, and then he'd show up, and he, I think his body was still so worn down that he would end up getting hurt. So
we've got the 10-20 put
yeah,
it on 13
I don't
on the
know.
Volume.
It's this time of day
for
every
5 minutes. For 5 minutes, we get blasted out.
This last little
out.
Part of warm up, they
right.
blast that.
I don't know.
Music.
Maybe they're trying to send us a message.
I don't know, man. I have no idea. Let's get to the important discussion, DeRocco, and that is the position group that I think they need the most improvement. The position group that I think a lot of fans feel like has improved the most, and that's the offensive line over the course of this offseason. A couple of camp battles coming into this thing at center and left guard. What have you seen early on in camp here from those guys?
Well, to be honest with you, at left guard, I think Zane Beatles has been better than he was last year. That's, you know, me looking at it. You know, you don't win every battle. You don't win every one-on-one battle, but he's done a really, really good job. He's been much more consistent, I think, and in the run game, it looks to me like he's much more powerful than he was last year, much stronger. So I think you have to be encouraged there.
Sure.
Now, maybe it's unfair of me, but every time I see Luke Jokinen, I don't watch him every snap, but I know in those one-on-ones, he's getting creamed. Not all the time. I know yesterday, Ryan Davis, I don't know if you were out there for that, just absolutely destroyed him.
Now, we saw your tweet. We saw Twitter's reaction to it.
Oh, with the bull run. It was unbelievable. I mean, Ryan Davis, the undrafted kid from Bethune-Cookman, who's 6'3", 6'2", 255 on a good day, just got up into Luke Jokinen and just blew him backwards. And it was...
And that's the problem. Ryan Davis is a good player.
He's a good player.
Ryan Davis is an ascending player. Well, like you say, he's 255.
Right.
One thing you shouldn't be able to do, even though Luke doesn't look like one of those road grader tackles, you shouldn't be able to move a 300-pounder that easily.
No. And what I've been told is Jokel's really good or better, pretty good. He's so athletic, and he's good with his hands and stuff, that if you're going to try and spin move, you're going to try and be athletic and juke him and all that other stuff, he's going to be able to handle you for the most part. But if you bull rush him, that's where he has a little bit of trouble. And that's what Ryan Davis did. And Ryan told me after the practice, you know, I was working on my bull rush. They told me to work on the bull rush today. So that's what he did. And I don't know if it caught Joko by surprise. I mean, Ryan is a little shorter, so he got up underneath those pads. But it was – but they – you know, Gus has said that he's improved. Tony Baselli, I talked to the other day, said that he looks better than he did last year. So, again, it's probably unfair because I don't watch him every snap.
Sure.
I know in team drills, I don't think he's been that bad in team drills. I think he's been okay. I mean, but, you know, the whole thing is they don't need him to be Tony Baselli. They really just need him to be...
Middle of the pack. Good,
exactly.
Right? Yes.
That's all they need him to be. And I think it looks like... And it's early, but it looks like they've got a player in Parnell. I think he's been really, really... I mean, the battles he's had with Jared Odrick have been fun to watch.
They've loved his film. Mm-hmm. We loved his attitude.
Right, loved just, it.
I mean,
yes.
just, they needed an infusion of that,
yeah.
I think, up front. And, yeah, I mean, he's got... That guy walks off the plane, you're like, all right, offensive lineman, offensive
right.
tackle. You know what he is.
Right.
You know, maybe you don't know what exact position he plays, but he looks the part. And playing next to Linder, I mean, that side's going to be pretty good over there. And what about the center competition? Wisniewski, I think most people that I know expect him to get the job just based on his experience or to win the job. But Belanco's got some things going for him as well. How's that playing out?
Yeah, you know, it's been pretty even. You know, Gus talked about it the other day that he wants to name a starter soon, but not too soon, because he wants to let the competition play out. And, you know, they've been alternating first-team reps. And, you know, Wisniewski being more familiar with the system is great. Belanco is a bit bigger. And despite his size, I think is pretty athletic. So I mean, people automatically think Wisniewski's going to win it, but Belanco's not giving that up easy. Now, he had a couple of plays yesterday where he got kind of tossed around a little bit.
Right.
But for the most part, I thought he's been solid. I don't know if I could sit here and tell you, yeah, I think this guy should win it at this point. I those guys, Gus and Marone are going to have a better idea after watching all that film, but just watching it right now on the field, to me, they look pretty even.
I see Marone and... Man, I'm not like you. I don't focus in on every play of the offensive
right.
line. I certainly don't focus in on every play and every rep of the offensive line coach.
Right.
But it seems like he is a very Jerry Sullivan-esque guy.
Yes.
Every rep, he's in somebody's ear. Every single rep,
right.
he gets right in the middle of it, and he'll go out and he'll demonstrate. And he'll show these guys exactly what they want. I you know, talking to Dave Caldwell, Tony, early this summer, we said, who is the most impactful newcomer? He goes, look, I know you guys are thinking free agent rookie, but I'll tell you, Mike Marone's going to be one of the most impactful guys.
He's very technical.
What are you hearing feedback-wise now that they're getting a chance, an extended period on the field with him?
Well, they really like him. He's very technical. He's very sound. You know, he is a very hands-on coach. And, you know, the offensive line has been a little bit, I don't want to say in flux, but, you know, they were dealt a pretty bad hand when George Jarno was diagnosed with cancer right before camp. And then they had to deal with Luke Bowanko, who is an assistant offensive, not Luke Bowanko, I'm sorry, Luke Buckus, who did as good a job as you could expect under the circumstances. But maybe Luke wasn't ready quite to be the number one offensive line coach at that point. So now they finally got Marone, who's got a rep as one of the better offensive line coaches in the league. They love him. He's a tough coach. You know, but from what I have heard from those guys, they are excited about working with him. And he's made some changes with each of those guys that have helped them. You know, with Beatles, he's sort of adjusted his stance a little bit, helping him with his power. And I think we've seen that that's worked.
You know, it's interesting. I think you're hitting on something where if you have the opportunity to talk to guys that were here last year, they're not going to say it. But I think there is a sense of direction that these guys are getting that wasn't here. And I think that's for a lot of the guys on the offensive side of the ball. Do you get that same sense talking to some of the vets on the team?
Yeah, I get a feeling that Greg Olson's probably a little bit of a better fit here right now, as well as Doug Marone. You know, and look, when you've got a young team, that's what you need. You need that anal retentive, in your face, hands-on, you know, really intense coach. And you know, Jerry Sullivan, I don't think it's any coincidence that Allen Robinson was pretty good last year for a rookie. After not playing in the preseason and participating in much of camp, he comes out and he's the leading receiver on pace to catch 70 balls. And what we saw from Allen Hurns, I don't think it's any coincidence that Jerry Sullivan was coaching that group. And I think the same thing might end up happening with the offensive line. I know for sure that it's going to help. It has already helped Beatles, and we'll see if it can continue, you know, if it'll help Jokel. But look, if they're okay along that front, I mean, that offensive line, just like we talked about Jokel, that just has to be okay.
Right.
If they're okay and they can at least run the ball with some consistency, then this offense will be all right.
Well, if they're okay on the left side, they're going to be good, I think, center over.
I agree with that.
So on the right side. And you run a lot to the right side, particularly in this division. You're going to run at J.J. Watt, right? You want to slow that guy down. So I don't care which side of the line is stronger, particularly. You know,
right.
I mean, the best pass rushers flip around a lot in today's NFL anyway. You know?
They do.
Give us a guy, Mike DeRocco here from ESPN.com. Mike, give us a guy. This is a surprise to you, offense, defense, or special teams, guy that you didn't expect much of, but you've been pleasantly surprised.
Chris Smith, the defensive end, who I thought probably wasn't, even, you know, when Chris Clemons came back, you know, they're talking about giving Scooter reps there at the Leo, and I thought, well, that's probably not good for Chris Smith, but he's been really good, especially the last several days. I've been really surprised at how strong he is now. He's gotten a lot stronger, and he's like Brian Davis in that he's not the biggest guy, got very long arms, but he's really, really quick. So he's been a guy. The other guy, defensively, Michael Bennett, the defensive tackle, the sixth-round pick, I thought, really has been much stronger than I anticipated him being. And he's been really good interior rush-wise, which has to make them feel good knowing, okay, we've got a young guy that, you know, maybe he can give us a little bit if Senderic really can't go that first, you know, month or whatever it is. Ziggy Hood, now we know we got a guy that's behind them that'll help, too. So those two guys have really been, to me, the biggest surprise.
Yeah, Bennett's the kind of guy you hope in 5 years you look back and you're like, he lasted. How the hell did he last?
Exactly.
I didn't even scratch your head, you know?
I tell you what, Dave
such
Caldwell,
a perfect fit here.
Yes. Oh, yeah, with the system, too. Caldwell said he wouldn't fit in every system around the NFL, but he fits perfectly with what they want to do.
I tell you what, I'm really impressed with what Dave Caldwell's done middle to the back end of the drafts. Like, the jury's still out on Jokel, and Cyprien hasn't been, you know, spectacular. I mean, it looks like Bortles going to be a player, but, I mean, you look at the players, these guys. I mean, Demetrius McCray's a starter they got in the seventh round.
Yep.
Telvin Smith's a starter they got, what, in the fifth?
Yep.
And then Bowanko was a sixth-round pick. And then this year you're looking at Michael Bennett, who might be a surprise. You know,
Owen was a fourth last year.
Right. I mean, it was really, they've taken advantage of the back part of that draft to really get some players that they can if not be building blocks, certainly be key players in the early parts of this rebuild. So I've been really impressed with what he's done in the back half of the draft.
Mike DiRocco here, final couple minutes. Mike, you're participating in the story on ESPN.com's NFL Nation about which guy will be the next from every franchise or the first,
or the first
case of some
teams
to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think you went with the obvious guy, which you should,
right.
Tony Boselli, who I bring up this stat, and I didn't. It wasn't an original thing I did with research. I heard somebody mention this years ago. Dwight Stevenson, the Hall of Fame lineman for the Miami Dolphins, started fewer games in the National Football League than Tony Boselli. And nobody bats an eye at Dwight Stevenson being in the Hall of Fame. Now, he was in the NFL longer than that, but do you think there is a time that Boselli will be recognized for the period of dominance, 5 Pro Bowls in 6 seasons? Or do you think ultimately, because they just didn't win a Super Bowl and, you know, this franchise doesn't have much history to fall back on relative to some of the legacy teams out there, that the Jags will be waiting a long time still?
I think he's going to have to still wait a while. It's going to be one of those veteran committee, you know, deals. But, you know, he was the best offensive tackle in the game. I mean, people look at Bruce Smith. Bruce Smith was a great player. And Bruce Smith's in the Hall of Fame, correct?
Sure.
Okay. Tony Boselli used to eat Bruce Smith's lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the best offensive tackle in the game during the early part of his career before the injuries took his toll.
In an era where the best other offensive tackles are in the Hall of Fame,
right.
or just about to go into the Hall of Fame.
And look, this team, it's okay, let's be honest. This team gets hurt by the fact that it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. It has
no
very
doubt.
Little history, very small market, but they made 2 AFC championship games.
Right.
You know, and that, what were they, 14-2?
And it didn't sustain that much longer when Boselli was
exactly,
gone, didn't
it? Exactly. And, you know, people look at that offense and go, yeah, Brunell and Jimmy and Keenan and Fred. But, you know, Boselli was just as integral to that offense as they were, to be honest with you. He'll get in eventually, I hope. You know, and then after that you start turning your attention to which the next guy would be, which I would probably say Jimmy at that point. Maybe even Fred Taylor. You could argue for Fred Taylor, but you know, I think once they get one Jaguar in there, eventually, you know, that stigma will go away.
Yeah, Fred versus Jimmy would be a good argument. You know, I don't know how much the off-the-field hurts Jimmy. Jimmy was as consistently good as any player that they've had outside of Tony. But Fred, man, you look at Fred, the yards per carry among guys who've rushed for 10,000 yards, he's right there at the top.
And he's another guy that's hurt by the fact of where he played.
And he's hurt by the fact that they always ran Stacey Mack's ass out there to run it in on the 1-yard line.
Fred gets it from the 1 to the not to the other one, and
the
then here comes Stacey Mack.
Here comes Stacey. Here we go. Oh, my goodness. But Mike DiRocco, what do you have coming up this weekend on your coverage of the Jags?
Well, we're obviously looking at the scrimmage tomorrow night with see what we see from Blake Bortles. You know, the mailbag this weekend, I'm starting to put that together, trying to come up with the question of the week. For that, I always like choosing that one and answering that one. That actually has become, I've only done it for about 2 months, I think. That has actually become my favorite part of the week, is trying to pick the question of the week.
Right.
And so that's
we do one every day,
right.
D-Rock.
Yeah, I know.
We're not feeling bad for you.
Right? No,
they're not all good.
Yeah. No, they're not.
No, yours may be.
Right. No, they're not. Trust me. The ones I get may not be. But, well, the good thing is, though, is I don't think I'm going to have any more Justin Blackmon questions.
You know, I think maybe the page has turned, and it's the back cover of the book is just about closed as well, as far as that goes. D-Rock, good to see you. At ESPN DiRocco on Twitter, and of course you can read him at ESPN.com. Thanks for stopping by this morning.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Sorry we ate all the food. The Metro Diner chat count.
Not surprised.
And not surprised in the least. D-Rock who apologizes. I stood next to him yesterday at the press conference. He goes, sorry if I stink. Like, man, I can't smell you, brother. He goes, no, trust me. I stink. I've been out here sweating all morning. He's fresh as a daisy this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Mike DiRocco of ESPN.com. Thank you, D-Rock. Good to see you, bud. Coming up, we'll hear from Gus Bradley and Bob Babich, some of their comments after practice yesterday. I don't always get to hear from the D coordinator of the team. We'll catch up with Amanda Borges a little bit later on. And D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution preview, one of the Jags' final opponents of the season, the Atlanta Falcons. This is all happening on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Glad you're with us, and you're going to be glad you're with Claude Nolan, because Claude Nolan brings you the Claude Nolan edge. It's simple. listen to this, no dealer fees. You don't understand how significant that is. No finance markup. They're going to save you thousands of dollars. Get the Claude Nolan Edge. It's one of the few places in the state that don't have any dealer fees. Save time and money. Start driving your Claude Nolan Cadillac today, folks. Our Friday sponsor, tell you a lot more about them as we go along. With that, Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey live at the Florida Blue practice field. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You know, it's just tough. The guy's a really strong competitor and did felt like he did everything right and is just trying to figure out how does it, something like that take place. So the spirits were good. Spirits were good.
Spirits were high for Marquise Lee, says Gus Bradley. I have a feeling the spirits were flowing for Alden Smith out in San Francisco.
That seems to be the latest.
Oh, my goodness. This guy, Tony.
DUI and hit and run.
And vandalism. Did I hear vandalism, too?
Vandalism. I don't know what that, like, what did he hit?
He gets drunk. He hits a car. He chops out.
Well, if it was.
Tags it with some spray paint, and then he hops in his car and takes off.
That would be a.
That would cover it.
That would be a funny version of this terrible story.
Yes.
But, I mean, I guess technically if you hit like a piece of public property and destroy it, is that vandalism?
I don't know. Like
car?
A mailbox or something,
yeah,
right?
I don't know.
I don't know if that is either. You ever vandalize anything, Tony?
Not that you know of.
Not that I'm going to share right here.
No.
Not that you can admit to. You know, when we were punk kids, we used to like tipping over newspaper machines. We're just little, you know what?
That's like the city version of cow tipping.
Yeah, I guess. And the thing was, we lived in a rural place where you could go. Yeah, my best friend in fifth grade's parents owned a dairy farm. He lived on a dairy farm.
Uh-huh.
So, and yeah. I never tipped a cow in my life.
My goodness,
believe it or not, I missed opportunity.
It really is.
Although we did have,
you're not going to go do it now.
We had sleepovers in the barn, though, man. I mean, and you didn't think of it when you're a kid. You're like. Pig poop, cow poop, doesn't matter.
Whatever.
Whatever. It smells fine to me. Eventually, right. A couple days from now, I'll shower up and it'll
be
just
fine.
But Alden Smith, as any team, I'm sure there has been one, but I can't think of many teams that have had worse off seasons ever than the Niners, man. Chris Borland, who's an outstanding third-round rookie last year, up and retires. Anthony Davis, 25-year-old starting offensive tackle, up and retires. Patrick Willis, longtime leader of that defense, retires. Justin Smith, who may have still been the best player on that defense right up until his advanced age in NFL terms in his mid-30s.
Now you got Alden Smith in trouble. You got Michael Crabtree no longer with the football team.
That might be a plus.
Gore's gone. I mean, it's like any of the leadership that was in place on that football team outside of Colin Kaepernick, and I'm not sure how much of a leader he was based on the comments we saw from Gore earlier this week talking about being in a huddle with Andrew Luck, right, where he said, it's nice to have a leader in the huddle.
We killed these guys, though, Tony. We killed them. Because I don't think Gore was trying to rip Kaepernick, and he even said, this is not meant as a shot at Colin Kaepernick, but this guy, Luck, it takes
it
to a new level, right?
But talking about that San Francisco offseason, I can't remember one. That's as bad as what they're dealing with. The only thing they haven't had is a quarterback injury. Like, that's the only thing they haven't had. Their head coach is gone. Like, everything else is gone that was in place as far as leadership on and off the field for that football team. Who knows what it's going to look like this year?
Read me something good that'll make me feel good from the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line.
Let's see. We just got one in from the 912. Epic week! In all caps, he screamed that at us. He said, I am stuck in this trash truck, but you guys make it feel like I am next to you guys. Thanks.
Ah, that's really
nice. Very nice.
You know, go home after you get out of the trash truck, take a shower, then come on down here, and you can sit down here with us.
Absolutely.
That would be fantastic. We appreciate the sentiment, though. That was very nice of you to say. All right, that's exactly what I needed, Tony. Let's get to Gus Bradley. You know what? If you want to feel good, just listen to Gus.
No doubt.
Gus could be like, yep. Had to have the leg cut off at the knee, but you know what? We're going to come out here tomorrow and just try to get better. And Gus...
No one had that, by the way.
No one had anything cut off at the knee. Thank you. Aaron Coleman had a day yesterday, huh? A couple of picks. One he would have taken to the house. And that's kind of the other side of the knife, right? You don't want Blake throwing picks, but you want these guys making plays on the defensive side. Maybe you want to make plays against the second-team quarterback, what have you. But Aaron Coleman looks like he could be a special player. Gus says he has been impressed.
His competitiveness, again, I said about the ability to play both positions. This was yesterday he got reps with the ones, and today he got reps with the ones. So we're just trying to see how he looks with that group, see how he performs. So he's put together a couple good days now.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that Gus talked about earlier this week when he joined Ogier and I in studio on Monday was he singled out Aaron Colvin, you know, as with everything they're asking him to do, play inside, play outside, talking about getting those starter reps too. He's been really impressive to this point in camp. One of the guys who's been working on the side to this point hasn't been on the field for this team yet, Chris Clemens. Gus gave an update on him yesterday.
Clemens is doing good each day. I think he's making very good progress. I can't say when it's going to be. You know, I think we'll just wait to hear from Milo and Scott and how they think he's doing and some other people involved. So, but he's making really good progress.
You won't see him on the field for the scrimmage, obviously. At this point, Gus, overall just saying yesterday was a good day for the defense.
Thought the first couple periods, defense did really, really well. Really well. 7-on-7, offense bounced back, as you saw it play out from there. But I was very pleased with how the defense bounced back today, especially in those first two sessions.
Speaking of the defense, defensive coordinator Bob Babich talked to the media yesterday as well. One of the big questions for this football team. I think we like the starting linebackers, but that depth has been a question mark all offseason for a bunch of fans, including us, Mike. Bob Babich commented on that linebacker depth after practice yesterday.
They're starting to come around, but they got to continue to grow. We need people to, you know, declare, you know, so we're excited about the competition that's going on. And they're getting better every day, but they need to continue to step it up. And, you know, I think with young guys, I think playing in games, I think that's when you really can tell where they're at as far as they're going to fit on the team.
Oh, we got to wait a week. Pittsburgh Steelers coming
to
town. And the guy we talked about with Mike DiRocco a moment ago, Michael Bennett, catching the eye of his defensive coordinator as well as a sixth-round pick. And Bob Babich, let us know what he's seen from him.
We really like Michael, and, you know, he was injured when he first got here, so to get him on the field has been a big plus. And, you know, what he's done up until this point is that he's shown us that he has the ability and the strength to play. We just need to make sure that we keep him up mentally and that he continues to get better.
Yeah, I loved hearing that he worked on that left hand, you know, during that 6 weeks off. So obviously serious about the craft. Another couple guys that DiRocco singled out when he sat down with us, Ryan Davis and Chris Smith. Bob Babich also commented on those two guys.
Well, we know Ryan's been around for a while, but, you know, Chris Smith has done a really good job of taking advantage of the opportunities that he's gotten teased. You know, he's done a good job. He's really showed up this training camp, and, you know, that's a big plus for us.
Also, Aaron Colvin, a guy we were just talking about a moment ago, heard Gus commenting on him, and, you know, we've talked about this guy could play slot if you want. He can challenge for one of the outside roles. He was playing first team outside yesterday, so Babich, you know, it's really rare for you get a guy that young that's savvy enough to be able to play inside, outside, really anywhere as a cornerback.
Yeah, I think it is. There's not a lot of guys that do it, so that tells you how talented he is. And when I talk about talent, I'm not just talking about his athleticism and his playmaking ability. I mean, part of that talent is you got to be able to switch from playing outside to inside. And, you know, man's easy. Man is man. But, you know, when you're playing some zones and you got to fit in run fits and stuff like that and set up on a quarterback, it's a little different now. So he's really done a good job.
One last comment from Bob Babich after practice yesterday, talking about the Auburn quarterback that's now playing cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Nick Marshall. Your eyes find him during practice. He's looked pretty good. What has the defensive coordinator seen from him?
Really pleased with Nick's transition. Very, very athletic. Very, very instinctive. Just young. When I say young, just young at the position. You know, he played quarterback I don't know how many years. I know he was corner of Georgia, but then he made the transition to quarterback. But very athletic and has playmaking skills, you know. So we've been very pleased with him. A great young man. You know, he just got to continue to get better in consistency. You know, you come in, there's a lot of things going on. But one thing he can do is he lets his instincts at the point of attack take over, and I think that really helps. He's not as analytical as some guys, but he lets his instincts in.
You can't have enough dynamic athletes among athletes. You know what I mean? I mean,
no.
Like, all these
yeah.
guys are dynamic athletes compared to us, but within that group, Nick Marshall even stands out as a pure athlete, and if you can get those guys to, you know, get their technique where it needs to be and be able to just instinctively let that athleticism come out, That's what they need. They need playmakers.
No,
that's what it boils down to. And he is a playmaker. Whether he can be a defensive playmaker in short order for the Jags, time will tell on that one. So I want to take you inside training camp a little bit there with Gus Bradley and Bob Babich. Coming up, this date in football and the drive around the NFL. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday where, boy, some of those great summer deals are still hanging around, folks. Still time to take advantage of some of the deals, like a 24-month lease on a 2015 SRX crossover, only $339 per month. Head on over to Claude Nolan Cadillac, 4700 Southside Boulevard, and tell them Mike Dempsey sent you. They're going to take phenomenal, phenomenal care of you over there. Call 642-5111 or visit them online at claudenolan.com and get that lasting relationship built by logging on there or visiting them at Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Back with this date in football history, the drive around the NFL, and Ms. Lauren Brooks coming up on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Only have one birthday of note today, Tony, but it is a significant one. Alan Page, NFL defensive tackle and a Minnesota Viking Hall of Famer, 1971 NFL MVP, 9-time Pro Bowler, pretty damn good, 6-time first-team All-Pro, pretty damn good.
That's really good.
And he got, I got to do something with my life after football. How about become an Associate Justice of the Minnesota Supreme Court? He was first elected in 1992 to that position.
That's an honorary position.
Right. And just on that, he's a member of both the College and Pro Football Hall of Fames and considered one of the greatest defensive linemen to ever play the game. 70 years young today, Alan Page. Still going strong, born on this date in 1945. Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work, you're in the market for a family dentist. Maybe you're looking for the Invisalign program. They're a certified Invisalign provider. They've got the Somnomed Stop Snoring Custom Fit Mouth Guard. Call 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Mentioned Alden Smith a moment ago, but the San Francisco 49ers linebacker in trouble again, this time arrested for DUI, hit and run, and vandalism. He's got a $26,000 bail set for him. It would be the third season in a row, Mike, that he has missed football due to some alcohol-related incident.
How do you as an organization put this guy back on the field?
Honest to goodness,
I understand the importance of pass rush. How about the importance of not taking everyone's life into your hands every time you get behind the wheel of the
car? I don't know. I saw something just a moment ago on Twitter of the 12 arrests in the last since 2012. Regarding or associated with San Francisco, five of them have been Alden Smith.
Good work, Alden.
Five of the 12. New York Jets cornerback Antonio Cromartie speaking out about the suspension of Tom Brady. Quote, the Patriots got fined. They took away draft picks. It's nice English. The maximum fine, I think, is $25,000. In the rule books, there is no suspension in the rules. There's only a $25,000 fine. I don't see how you can try to lay the hammer down on someone when the rule states for itself there is no suspension, just the maximum fine of $25,000. That's not what the rule says, but okay, Antonio.
Right.
We appreciate you jumping in on
By
that.
By the way, Antonio Cromartie just went from the guy in Foxborough who everyone said, that's the guy who can't remember his kids' names, to that guy's really smart, man.
Right.
You should really listen to what this guy has to say.
Yeah.
He is a very smart fellow.
They took away draft picks. A couple of injury notes from across training camps. That's the direct quote. Washington Redskins receiver DeSean Jackson injured his shoulder after falling into a sled during a team drill. He's expected to be held out for a week or two. And Dez Bryant has a hamstring strain that he suffered in practice yesterday. He says he's going to be fine, so it shouldn't affect him too awful much. But you don't want those soft tissue injuries early on, as everyone listening to me knows.
Yes.
Here in Jacksonville.
My goodness. Don't go running into a blocking sled either.
They had it too close to the field.
Apparently
the story
so.
Was nuts.
I was trying to think of that here. Like, Tony, how hard would it be to run into a blocking sled during a team drill?
Right.
It's almost impossible to do.
And apparently they just had it too close to the field. DeSean fell into it. He was really upset after practice with the equipment guys, and understandably so. But nothing severe. Just going to take it easy with him here for the next week or two.
All right. We are in great luck because we've been able to get a few minutes of time from the president of the University of North Florida. Ms. Lauren Brooks.
People are going to be surprised when they hear a female voice. That's what I'm saying.
You're being, you get pulled from every direction. You come out here saying knockies, like, let me go chat up Lauren. Everyone wants a piece of Lauren. Let me talk to Lauren. Take the headset off. Come talk to me, Lauren. Talk to the people of Jacksonville.
Well, I haven't seen Hussein in a long time. He's the vice president of fan engagement for the Jaguars, and so he coordinated
awesome,
so fantastic. He coordinated a lot of good stuff with Helmets and Heels last year, getting us on the video boards at halftime of the first preseason game last year, and then we also, of course, talked a lot about the tailgate reporting side of things, and then Hussein also, I'm sure, has been very busy working on the FanDuelville.
What about that?
That is a much improved,
your stadium.
Much improved name for that area, if you ask me, just because it ties in far more football than it does, you know, a South Beach scene.
Sure.
And I think fans will be much happier.
But Tony. Tony, don't let Tony Romo do his thing in Vegas because it's so bad. But all right, hey, buy the stadium. Buy the stadium. You know, buy the naming rights for the North End. I love FanDuel. I'm not complaining. I think it's fantastic. I'm a big supporter of their product and what they do.
You were like number one last year across the country, right?
For a time being, yes. Yeah. In terms of, because people here in Jacksonville love FanDuel. That's why.
Heck yeah.
Jacksonville's number one, Lauren.
It's
not me. I'm just the conduit to Jacksonville. No, it was me, actually. But
I was going to say, I thought you were far less.
I was trying to be magnanimous. That's what I was
Nicely done there.
Thank you. What are you doing out? You're out here every single day now.
I'm not. I missed yesterday, which I'm kind of sad because yesterday was the final practice this week in full pads.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sad about that because today there's helmets only.
Well, if you don't include tomorrow.
Yes, if you don't include tomorrow, but yeah, I don't include that as a practice.
Right,
I guess.
Right. Different kind of structure. By the way, Cyprian, I talked about in the opening, Tony.
Yes, you did.
He put a thump on Toby Gerhart at the 1 yard line, and Toby landed closer to the two.
Look, we've been talking about it with Sip, right? You want to see him start really making plays for this defense. If that was in the middle of a game and they got an opponent on a third and goal from the 2 yard line and he puts that kind of smack on somebody, you're going to be talking about that for the next week.
That's a game changing play.
Right.
That's exactly what I say. He doesn't have to make interceptions and sacks. Make big plays just in what your basic responsibilities are.
But we're
going to
be Saxonville.
We're going to be a lot of things, apparently. There are like 50 nicknames. We want more. No limits.
We do want more.
I don't know what else.
Can we please talk about the Vanderbilt
ready.
Team yesterday?
I don't want to talk about
what
it.
What did Vandy do?
It's embarrassing.
Okay, so their tweet said, "We don't need permission."
Yeah.
And that's all it said. Even though it was taken from a larger quote,
yeah,
but that's all that the tweet
the
actually said.
It's the end of like the team slogan for this year is "We don't need permission."
And so people, of course, got furious because
the rape case,
exactly,
yeah, right,
precisely.
Yeah. And
I got it sent to me by like 15 different people on Twitter, and I was immediately, I'm like, it's just embarrassing that they would even put that in front of anybody right now. It's just stupid.
Well, and it's also an NCAA kind of thing too. That's at least what I take it as.
Did you see what the Colts are doing today?
Yes.
Right? The Colts are having a bring your old prescription drugs and turn them into us for like a free preseason ticket.
Yes.
Is Jim Irsay that desperate?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't
absolutely
know if he's personally going to have his hand out collecting these things to make sure they are safely disposed of course.
And did you already talk about the Bucks and their female movement?
See, now what's wrong with the female movement?
I just, for one, could you have titled it something other than red?
Yeah, well, now you know what? Now that you mention it.
They are the Bucks.
That's the, I understand, but that's the only problem
could have been
I pewter? Had with
Why
it.
Couldn't we have named it pewter?
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry to ruin
you know,
it.
I never would have thought of that. And in all seriousness, explain what this program is, right? This is
very similar to what the Jags have, which is the Jaguars have a women's club.
Right.
They used to, they haven't done it in a few years, but they used to have a women's football clinic. I actually did it for my 30th birthday out here on the field, the practice fields, and you run through drills, you get to, you know, hit the pads, you get to try and kick a field goal, which, by the way, because I played soccer growing up, I'm a much more straight-on kicker. and I don't know how to get the arch underneath the ball. Mm. So the guy that was standing under the goalpost had a rude awakening when I kicked.
You drill him?
I drilled him.
Nice!
Right where the
sun
don't
shine. It wasn't no end over end, it was just
no,
spinning.
No, it was just, yeah, giblets. Right at it. Yep. And then I was like, so obviously I missed that field goal, and I went to line up for another one,
or
and he's like,
you?
No! It wasn't someone I knew. But yeah, so the Jags used to do the women's football clinic, and then they still do the Jaguars Women's Football 101. It's a fantastic event, and I don't just say that because I got to co-MC it last year, but it really is a fun event. Football players, some are there. There's an auction. They really do have the coaches and some of the scouts come in and kind of teach the women. If you know a lot about football as a female, are you going to learn that much? Maybe not, but you know, maybe someday they'll have a women's football 102 for
who
actually know.
People took offense because the Bucks were like going to have like, hey, here's some creative ideas for tailgating preparation. They're saying, oh, you know, it's very sexist. You're suggesting women can't be fans, but they're all different levels of interest. Some women
certainly
are into that, right? I'm sure you guys talk about that.
Yeah, it's a fashion show for some women.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I mean, some are. Probably some men are more into the tailgating aspect too.
And I know several guys who show up and don't watch a lick of the games, but and enjoy the, you know,
the
new FanDuel bill.
Just way over the top.
I agree. And I think that if you are someone, let's say, that knows what a three technique is, then you don't need to necessarily join it. But if it's a woman who really does want to learn a lot more, then by all means, this gives her the opportunity. Why would you be upset about someone being able to learn more about the game and then be able to participate more?
Huh.
And football teams reaching out to a broad part of their fan base that they've basically ignored.
Exactly. The Jags fan base, at least the last time I heard, it was 51% female. So there is obviously a huge market for the female fan to come and not just tailgate, but also actually experience the game. When we get a sack, really understand what that means. You know, there's a lot of fun to be had at football.
Well, you put your groceries in, ladies. You know that. Come on. He said jokingly.
See, none of that stuff bothers me, but maybe it's because...
I know like, it doesn't.
I think that there are, like you said, all varieties of people who come and watch. And I guarantee, because they are going to have exclusive access for the Bucks for women to do certain things that no one else is allowed to do, there's going to be a lot of guys that are really jealous.
I meet guys all the time that are like, hey, I'm a big Jag fan, when they find out what you do, and they don't know half, you know.
Sure, you don't have to know.
They don't know the coaches' names, they don't know.
Yep.
So there's all different levels of interest, and I'm fine with all of them. Wherever you are on the spectrum, if you consider yourself a Jag fan, you support the team.
Yeah, if you still think number four on our team, on our roster, is Cecil Shorts, that's okay.
That's fine. That is fine.
You can still come and cheer when we get a touchdown.
So are you going to the scrimmage tomorrow?
Of course.
I'm not. I have to work. So. Yeah, what can I do? I got to be on. I'm not going to be there. You're not going to see me on the
But the first preseason game, you'll be there.
Yes, I'll be out for all the preseason games and all the regular season games and all the postseason games as well. including Super Bowl 50.
Did you know that FanDuelville stole 1010's nickname for the post game? It's going to be called the FanDuelville Fifth Quarter.
Okay.
All right.
That's
so
what ours is.
So now is our Hacker and T-Week doing the sixth quarter?
No, I don't think it's a radio show. I think it's more of a drink
come
after
hang out.
The game.
Oh, they're fifth
It's like
quarter,
they were
right?
doing last year.
Yeah.
They just kept it open
exactly.
after home games for people to come
Which
chill.
I was there a lot, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Drink basically, it became a club after the game.
Yeah.
Right?
And I actually used to get to see Hussein. One time I got to see Mark Lamping. They were just hanging out after upstairs.
Yeah, especially after wins. I bet it's a lot of fun over there after the home wins.
They are few and far between. Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if the UNF president is eligible for endorsements, but FanDuel, man, they loving you today as many times as you've thrown FanDuel out there. Well played.
Yeah, director of marketing for UNF Athletics, you know.
I keep forgetting what your, quote, official title is, all right?
So I
brought
off the
masses
top.
Out there.
Absolutely.
All right, as at 1010XL Lauren on Twitter, give her a follow. It's always fun when you stop by and chat.
Well, thanks for having
Is
me,
that
gentlemen.
Changing to at UNF Lauren anytime
You know,
soon,
I
or?
Asked if I should, and they said they did not care. So
okay. Good.
I'm going to leave it.
Good. That would be a deal breaker. And also, go.
We're never having you on again.
Next time you come, I'm going to bring you some recipes so you can you fix me up some nice tailgate grub.
Right. You know what? Last year, I was the hero of the pregame show.
You
brought you food, Nat. I did not cook, which was even better for you because you don't want to eat anything.
This is true. This is true. You brought us all manner of breakfast, brunch, and lunch.
Don't say yes. I never saw food.
Tony was inside.
You were inside.
describe it to him.
Never
I wasn't allowed
one.
Access to where you were.
I just got to listen to y'all talk about the food.
It was good, Tony, just so you know. All right, Lauren Brooks.
All right, y'all have fun.
Thank you for stopping by as we continue on here live at the Florida Blue practice field. Amanda Borges is going to stop by. We'll check in with our 1010XL Jaguar reporters, find out what's going on during the midst of practice right here, getting ready a day away from the scrimmage. Question of the day for you out there on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, is which three players are you most interested in laying eyes on tomorrow night at the scrimmage? I'm going to assume Blake is one of them for most people out there. So which three are you most looking forward to checking out and seeing what their development looks like at this point in time? With Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's called Nolan Cadillac Friday. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. You know, one of these days I will surprise one of our many cohorts. I don't even call them guests. They're family, right? Like Amanda Borges with an actual platter of food from Metro Diner for you as you come over here. Of course, Amanda would be the kind of person who'd go, I'll three grapes.
No, I would love a platter of food.
Would
right
you?
Now. What are you going to bring me? Bacon? And
I don't
eggs
know. I mean, bacon, stop right there. That's good, right? How do you like your eggs prepared?
Over medium.
I like them over medium.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I like eggs in a lot of different ways.
Me too.
As long as the yolk's not crazy runny.
I like a runny yolk.
That's your problem, buddy.
I do.
You know, people eat them raw, like they drink them. Have you ever done that?
I have. You know why I've done that?
Because you're a manly man.
Because Rocky Balboa once did that. He cracked some eggs,
yes,
throw
them
in the glass, you slug them right down. You're like, I'm going to look like Rocky.
After saying good morning to his turtles, Cuff and Link.
That's right. Kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Doo-wop it on the corner. What's the song that they sang around
there? Take It Back.
Take It Back.
Do, 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 do.
Take it back. And that's the whole lyric, the whole song right there.
That's good. Back.
Yes. Now they're doing the new one, Creed.
Creed, yeah.
Right?
Apollo's Kid.
With the, what's the actor's name?
Michael B. Jordan.
The new Human Torch.
Yeah.
We were just talking about the Fantastic Four movie. Are you a comic book movie person, Amanda? You see the Avengers and the like?
I'm definitely not against it, but I don't, I don't seek them out.
No, you don't?
I think we had her nervous. Like, the level of nerd talk that Mike and I went into before we got back here, Amanda's like, I don't want to say I hate the Marvel movies because of who I'm sitting here with.
I flipped the table right now.
No, hate's a strong word. I don't hate them. And I actually did know about the Marvel-Sony thing with Spider-Man. I knew about that.
Well, you come in here all like, why do they keep making these Fantastic Four movies? They got like 17 movies.
Right. That it was just a question because they make so many, so I'm wondering what's so cool about the new one.
I don't know. Haven't seen it. But I've
but
heard
you're going
it.
To, right?
I've heard terrible reviews.
Yeah, it's getting crushed. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I think it's at like, last night it was at 10% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Sweet. Sweet.
I still want to see Inside Out.
It was wonderful.
Was that
you
the
saw
one
it?
With the little girl? The little,
yeah.
The emotions.
The Pixar movie. I loved it.
You saw it? Was it good?
I'm a dad. I see all that stuff.
I know.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
I'm really late to the party when it comes to movies.
Even though I have a son, I have a girl. The girl in the movie's named Riley, and she's 11. And I coach soccer, and one of my kids I've coached for 5 years is named Riley. And she's 11, so I thought that was super cool.
That's really cool.
Well,
that
really
is cool.
Yeah. So.
It was my niece's first like big Hollywood movie too.
Wow.
She's 18 months or something like that now. We took her to the movies for the first time. She didn't know what was going on, but she was entranced by that big screen. If nothing else. Yeah, it was
so
fun.
She's almost two.
Take
almost
her to a Jaguar two. Game, okay. Man. Take her to the scrimmage. Kidding me? Got big screens going? Got all that? What are you
screens.
Doing during the scrimmage now? Are we going to see you up on the big screen? What's
no,
going on?
I will be in the press box taking notes.
You will? Okay.
Watching diligently so I can come back and report. No, I'm excited about this scrimmage. I just can't believe that first preseason game is a week from today.
I know.
So exciting. The scrimmage is going to be cool. I think it's going to be very similar to a padded practice just inside the stadium, but on a grander stage with more people. It's going to be a game time atmosphere, but don't expect them to go too hard.
No, I mean, they'll hit. They're not looking to break anybody in half,
no.
Obviously. They're not going to go any harder than they did yesterday. I've brought it up a few times now. That hit Jonathan Cyprian late on Toby Gerhart right at the end of practice at the goal line was as good a hit as you'll see in a training camp practice. I mean, he brought it, lowered those shoulder pads, and popped Toby right on his backside. But, you know, the one thing you'll notice, too, you know, out here it's all spaced out, so special teams is going on. Nobody cares. You know?
Right.
It's like you're kicking. But everything in the stadium is like the focus is on whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
All the focus is on that one thing. And Gus always has some cockamamie scoring system to keep track of that an interception's worth two or well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Nobody knows. Works. At the end, he'll say, oh, 37 to 29, and no one has a clue what
Wait,
the heck's going on.
Wait, they don't score according to how a normal game would be?
Well, no. you play offense defense.
Yeah.
So
right.
It's pretty much puts the defense at a disadvantage because they're not done any defensive touchdowns. So the offense, you still get points for touchdowns
yeah.
and field goals.
It's
all
the
that.
Stableford scoring of football.
Kind of, right?
Okay.
Sacks or what would have been sacks had we allowed you to hit our quarterback kind of thing count and all that stuff.
Interesting.
Yes, it is. And what's fun is for us, you know, you go back for the old people, Amanda, back – prior to 9/11, 2001, you used to be able, in practically every stadium around the NFL, you could go down the final 2 minutes of the game and stand on the sideline if you were covering, if you had any
right.
kind of press credential.
Yep.
And they really cut that out in a lot of places after 9/11. And if you're not an actual member of the broadcast team, you're not going to get down there yep. anymore. But it's fun during the scrimmage because it's a relaxed atmosphere. You see different, you know, local dignitaries on the sideline. And you can just stand down there and get, you know, 5 feet away from the action
yeah.
and keep your head on a swivel, obviously. But it's kind of cool just to be that close, you know, to see the – because the violence up close, and people who come out here and see it even in training camp, unless they're on the near field, you can't translate the
yeah,
violence that's
really
going
can't.
On out there.
No, being close is – a whole nother experience if you've never experienced being on the sideline of any game, whether it's high school football, college, NFL, it's just incredible. But I want to say it was yesterday, there were some pretty hard hits. Like, you could hear those pads against each other, and it was pretty rough.
You got to have some of that. You know, it's a fine
to.
Line, right? Because you don't want to get guys hurt.
No.
But one of the big things you hear about in all levels of football nowadays is tackling. The art of tackling has disappeared because it's not practiced anymore. So few contact practices that you have, and then you're so afraid of getting your multi-million-dollar superstars injured that – you know, you're kind of left up to guys to work on the tackling dummies and kind of hope for the best, you
right.
know, when it gets in a game situation. Yesterday, Blake, a couple of picks. Aaron Colvin got him a couple of times. I think most people felt it was a, you know, a step down. And, you know, the barometer day-to-day of practice is going to go up and down a little bit. But Gus Bradley always talks about stacking up good practices, coming off maybe his best practice. What did you make of what Blake did yesterday?
The day before yesterday was Blake's best practice. That's what everyone said. I saw it, too. Yesterday wasn't as great of a day, like you said. But the defense was just on fire yesterday. You mentioned Aaron Colvin. I think he's a guy that we need to talk more about. He had two picks yesterday. I want to say he had a pick another day as well, but he's really shown up, and he's battling for a spot with Dwayne Gratz, who hasn't been practicing because he's had, I want to say...
It's a calf.
Yeah, his calf.
Yeah.
I think he's battling with more than Gratz.
Well, more,
point,
right,
too,
right,
you know?
Right.
Like, he has his sights set on starting in base defense, which would mean either he and House or he and McCray, but
right.
both one of those guys would be coming off the bench, at which point Colvin would move to the slot. But Colvin's the kind of guy, from what we're hearing about, you don't want to take him off the field.
Nope.
You know?
No, he's been really great. I'm going to try to talk to him today, so hopefully I get a chance to catch up with him. But it's his second year. I think he feels the pressure, and he feels like he's got a lot to prove.
Well, we'll talk to you more about this next week as we'll be out here for a few more training camp practices. But you are going to be really involved with the game day broadcast in a variety of capacities. You're going to be a big part of the pregame show as well, just kind of roaming the crowd out there and obviously doing a great job in the locker room covering the team. Are you excited? What are you?
I'm really excited. I hope all the tailgaters are nice to me.
Oh, they'll be nice to you.
You know, they
can get pretty
rowdy.
You're an attractive young lady. They will be nice to you, okay?
No,
you and Tony got
fun.
No shot.
No.
Nope. No shot.
They're not sending Mike or I out
to
the park.
No, no, there's a nope. reason, in addition to your people skills.
Oh, yeah.
That
no, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be like I'm tailgating, but I'm not.
As far as we know.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Right. I mean, if someone offers it to me,
hey,
what am
you know,
I going to
come
do?
Come on. I mean, you can't be rude in those circumstances.
Right.
So, no, it'll be a lot of fun. You'll have a blast. I know Lauren Brooks really enjoyed doing that last year as well. So we look forward to seeing more of you around, and we're going to get out of here because we got to head inside. Because
you're heading out already.
Well, you know what's happening is we're multitasking at 1010XL. Dan Hicken was at the high school showcase, the Baker Sports High School showcase today, and then we grabbed his equipment, came down here, do a little radio out here, and then Joe and Hack and T-Wig need the equipment back upstairs for more of the high school stuff. So we're going to take it inside for
Look
the final
set. Look at that.
Set.
We're doing all kinds of
we're
stuff.
We're multitasking.
Moving and shaking.
We want Tony and I. Tony wanted to stay inside. I said, no, I'm going to come out because if I stay inside, I won't get to see Amanda. I won't get to see Lauren.
Oh, Mike.
I know. Somebody's got to be a fan of you guys.
Someone's got to do it. It's a tough job, let me tell
you. That has fallen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Happy to do it. At 1010XL Amanda on Twitter. Good to see you.
Actually, it's backwards.
It's
Amanda,
at Amanda 1010XL.
You gotta keep track of these things, Mike.
I went with it confidently, and I figured
you did.
I had a chance.
You don't have everyone's Twitter handle memorized at this point?
I don't. Mine is MD_1010XL.
I knew that.
I know, but well, thank you. But this is 1010XL Fat Tony.
Yeah, I know.
Amanda, 1010XL, everybody. You already knew that. I was testing you, all right?
Oh,
thank you, Amanda.
Man. Thanks, guys.
Good to see you. Have fun out
you.
There, all right?
See you later.
Listen for Amanda and this afternoon and read her blog practically daily at 1010XL.com on your Jacksonville Jaguars. Cardinal and Cadillac Friday continues, Tony. Quick look. Do we have a minute to take a quick look at some of the responses we got on the Fan Feedback Spotlight?
We got them right here.
Yeah, asking people who are the players they're most looking forward to seeing out on the practice field as they tweet at Amanda 1010XL all weekend. Some of the response we got was what?
From Mike, he said Blake Bortles, Julius Thomas, and the new Jackson DeVille. From Joe, Bortles, Bennett, and Yeldon. From Eric, the young trio on offense of Bortles, A-Rob, and Yeldon. That's our future. From Scott, Jared Audrick, Aaron Colvin, and Allen Robinson. I'm so happy that football is back. From Demetrius, I'm interested to see where the linebacker depth is. In my opinion, it's an underrated and developing unit with Fortin George leading the way. From Lloyd, Bennett, Parnell, TJ, more pressure, better protection and run blocking, and better rushing game to relieve number 5. From Terrence, Blake, Luke, and TJ, see y'all over there. What's up, Terrence?
What up, Terrence?
From Black Dog Express, like y'all, quarterback, running back, tight end, hashtag getting giddy. Hashtag new era.
All right, there you go. And for people who think we don't like Terrence, we love Terrence.
I like Terrence.
I just don't like some of his crazy ideas
that
are not as bright as they could be sometimes.
Yeah.
But we ding him in, we ding him out, and we hug it out every time we see him. But I like the idea of the new Jackson DeVille. What you going to do?
Curious.
What you going to do, new cat?
Curious.
Got a high bar to leap over there, new cat. We'll see what's up with that. I don't think we're going to see too much in the way, you know, save the good stuff for when it counts, but we'll see what we get.
Yeah, you won't get the full stadium entrance
No,
tomorrow.
You won't. All right, I'm heading inside. Tony, you're heading upstairs. Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you, man.
Have a good weekend.
I will. Be out for the scrimmage tomorrow night.
I'm going to bump up Fantastic Four to 11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So do it.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to love it. And I'm going to log on and vote, baby, because it's the American way.
Those are your favorites, right?
That was my comic growing up, Fantastic Four. I had about close to 100 issue run, unbroken, you know. Geek it out, baby. Love it. All right, that's going to do it for us from out here. Stick around. Dear Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, coming up in just a couple of minutes. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious.
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
All right, talking Jags, talking training camp with you. Mike Dempsey here with you on Jaguars Today. Falcons come calling. Oh, do we have some good memories of the Falcons coming to Jacksonville. Go back to those 96 playoffs. 19-17, Morton Anderson's foot. Oh, maybe that plant foot slipped a little bit. And wide she goes. Jags off on a playoff run in their second year of existence, covering the Falcons and joining us here on 1010XL, our friend D. Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. D.O., how are you this morning?
Oh, Mike, I'm doing pretty good, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
You got it, buddy. Hey, listen, during draft time this year, in the lead-up to this year's draft, there were a lot of supporters of the Pick-Vic movement here in Jacksonville. A lot of people that wanted Vic Beasley to be the selection for the Jags. Obviously, they went a different direction, and Vic Beasley became the draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons. Dio, what have you seen out of this guy so far for a team that obviously needs help at pass rush?
Yeah, he looks pretty good coming off the ball, and, you know, it shows that elite speed that they were hoping to get when they picked him up. He's a level-headed kid. He seems to be trying to blend into the team and doesn't seem to be one of those prima donna types. So, yeah, it looks like a perfect fit for the Falcons, who are in dire need of some pass rush help.
Yeah, they really have been, and it's funny because you had one defensive-minded head coach in Mike Smith. You get another one coming in from Dan Quinn, but that's the side of the ball that has struggled, obviously, in recent years. Do you expect a significant improvement overall on the defensive side for the Falcons?
It's kind of too early to tell, and they're doing so much experimentation with different groupings in the line and the secondary and the linebacking corps. But, you know, if they get to their optimum, you know, expectation with, you know, the people they signed and they're able to contribute, you know, and I'm talking about Adrian Claiborne, Brooks B., Justin Duran, O'Brien Schofield, you know, they got a lot of guys they signed to come in here and help this defense. And if that all works, you know, they could be much improved. But, you know, it never really breaks down like that. Rich Reed has barely practiced, he's been out with the hip and groin thing, and when you see guys going in and out like that, you know, that usually ends with a surgery or something. So they need some guys who are left over to hang to step up, like Rashid Hageman. You know, you don't know how much Jonathan Bavino has left. So they're mixing and matching and trying to come up with the formula that will give them a shot on Sundays. And, you know, we don't see that yet right now. It's still a work in progress.
Every team's coach, Dio, puts a stamp on their team. They should, with their personality. Mike Smith was one kind of coach. What has Dan Quinn brought to the table that you've noticed is different in terms of his approach to getting this team ready?
Well, I think he wants them to play, you know, he wants to try to play fast and physical. He wants to at least, you know, what they messed up, he wants to hit people. He don't want people just running around free through his defense like that's been the case here. So, you know, if they attack and get after people, play fast and come up short, he's going to probably be okay with that. You know, that's not going to last for long. But if they're playing with that kind of style and brand of football, you know, and they'll upgrade the talent along the way, that'll be his stamp on this team here.
Dear Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Falcons come calling Week 15 against the Jags December 20th here, final home game in Jacksonville this season. Dio, offensively for this football team, got a couple running backs that are in a pitch battle to win that job, but they're both nursing injuries right now. Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, the rookie. A lot of times you think when you've got a holdover with a new coaching staff, the edge is going to go to the new guy coming in that they drafted, but I've talked to you in recent weeks, and you said consistently that Freeman has been the front runner. How do these injuries impact this competition?
Yeah, it kind of sidetracks things. You know, we're expecting at least got both of the guys to be down 2 weeks. You know, Freeman will still have the advantage when he comes back, and he was having a good camp. So he'll, you know, assume that seat once he gets back in, and that'll allow them to develop the rookie. They don't have to push him you know, onto the field too soon, which we know could be detrimental for a rookie. So I fully expect Freeman to come back out of the injury and still be at number one. And then Coleman was kind of, you know, picking up ground as he goes, I think, is how this competition is going to shake out.
You know, you look around the league and you look at Andy Dalton in Cincinnati, and he gets that team to the playoffs every year, but he's not been able to advance them so far, and he gets a ton of criticism. Matt Ryan pretty consistently has had this team in the playoffs, and they do have a victory over the Seahawks in Russell Wilson's rookie year, but that's his playoff resume so far. I mean, he puts up big numbers in the regular season. Has there been much criticism in the Falcons fan base that he hasn't taken them to a next step in the postseason yet?
Not in the fan base, but you get that nationally when you hear those guys talk. The fans here know that what it was like before Ryan came here, and they know they never had experienced 5 winning seasons in a row. So they're not going to throw trash on their guy just because you know, national people are doing so. They want to see him get back to his winning ways and believe that when they get to the playoffs, it's not just on his shoulders. He'll have to step up and do some things. It, you know, they know how they lost in the playoffs. It wasn't because of the offense. It was because the defense gave up a 17-point lead in the NFC Championship game. to San Francisco, and the defense got bombarded by the Green Bay Packers when they were on their way to the Super Bowl title. So whatever's happened here hasn't had anything to do with their playoff record and Matt Ryan not showing up. He showed up and balled out in those games. He had the Packers tied at 14-14, and then they did get a pick six off of him, and then it was the onslaught just came on from Aaron Rodgers after that. So, you know, people, once they dig inside the record, the playoff failures have nothing to do with offense. It's been a matter of the team not properly building that defense over there.
What are your concerns on the offensive side, if you have any? Obviously, Roddy White getting up there a little bit in years, and Jacob Tammy coming in to play tight end. Whether it's the O-line, the running back competition, where's the biggest question mark for you on the offensive side of the football?
Yeah, it's that line, and if they're talented enough to execute this zone blocking scheme, if they're not, you know, it's another bad season. They're 6-10, and, you know, they're trying to get more linemen in here again, which they've been trying for the last 4 or 5 years now. They do have some promise. They brought over some veterans from Washington to help kind of buttress the line, but, they're trying to do this cut blocking scheme. But if one guy's off, then it's, you know, not any good. But if they can run the ball and balance out the attack, that's the major concern, is whether this line can come together and if those backs are going to be big enough to hold up under this type of system. But, yeah, you can throw the ball. You know that going in. It's if you can put that other part of it together.
This is a division in the NFC South won by Carolina at 7-8-1. Was the record last year. I mean, that alone should tell us that everyone in that division is in the race this year. But what does your gut tell you? Is this a return to the postseason for the Atlanta Falcons in 2015?
My gut doesn't tell me that, Mike, just because I can't see the line and I don't see how the defense is coming together yet. You know, if it all works out, certainly they could overthrow Carolina. But, you know, you want to see that first before you start, going, you know, you don't want to be going into the crystal ball on stuff. So,
sure.
If they can pull it all together, that's a lot of moving parts. But they did do it in Coach Smith's first year. They pulled a lot of stuff together and got to the playoffs at 11-5. So in the modern day NFL, you can flip things around pretty quickly with free agency and so forth. So, we'll see how it goes. I don't see it right now. I think they're fighting for, you know, second place with the Saints right now in the NFC South.
They tell us you can flip it around quickly, Dio. We're still waiting for that to happen down here. But I'll let you know if they break through. All right, but hey, listen, on Twitter, at DOrlandoAJC from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, D. Orlando Ledbetter, one of the best out there, and we'll see the Falcons on December 20th here in Jacksonville. Dio, always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the season, and look forward to catching up with you in Jacksonville late in the year.
Sure, no, Mike, no problem. Thanks for having me. We'll have a good time down there in December.
You got it, buddy. There he goes, D. Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Jack's final home game of the year, December 20th, against the Falcons. The only team we haven't taken a look at on the Jags schedule so far, the Saints. I'm sure we'll knock them out next week, and that'll be it. And we've kind of gone through things, and by next week, then, heck, it's on to talking about game week. Week from today, Pittsburgh Steelers, just a day from now, scrimmage in the stadium. I know that's a big kind of a milestone day, a marking point on the way to the season for a lot of fans out there. So if you haven't been able to make it out to training camp, hopefully you can make it out this weekend to check out the scrimmage in the stadium with about 20,000 other of your fellow teal bedecked brethren and sisters out there rooting on the Jags. Thanks again to Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Don't forget the Claude Nolan Edge, folks. Do you understand how significant it is to get a company that will eliminate dealer fees entirely from the equation? That's what Claude Nolan Cadillac does. It's part of the Claude Nolan Edge. No finance markup. They're going to save you thousands of dollars. You got to stop in 4700 Southside Boulevard, 692-5111. Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here. Mention Mike Dempsey sent you. They're going to take great care of you. They got some incredible deals going on right now. So take full advantage, particularly the Claude Nolan Edge. Again, you get that all the time. No dealer fees, no finance markup. Save thousands by visiting Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here of Jaguars Today. Today, let's see, Mike DeRocco, I'd like to thank him for popping by from ESPN.com, covering your Jacksonville Jaguars. Lauren Brooks and Amanda Borges from our own 1010XL Helmets and Heels Jaguars coverage team. And got to hear a little bit from Gus Bradley and Bob Babich today as well. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, this is Mike Dempsey. I'm signing off for the week. Everybody enjoy the scrimmage. I've got a show tomorrow night on Sirius. I won't be out there, but I will be looking for your reaction to it, and we'll have a bunch of folks on Monday to react to it as well as we pick up Jaguars today next Monday at our normal time from 10 to noon. Stop by and see us. A few more shows out there live at training camp while they're open to the public. We love seeing you guys. Love hearing all the feedback that we've gotten from you over the past week. So, again, for all the aforementioned, that does it for us this week. Stick around, XL Primetime coming to you from the Baker Sports High School Showcase. That's minutes away. Have a great weekend. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.